What about, like, Peter Saul?
Well, Peter came later. Of the present ones, now, Ella Mars, do you remember her? She was here, and her daughter, Wyatt. Now, Ella and I were at the Pillow that summer of 47, and I think we're the only ones.
Well, she's not mentioned much, but she must have met by that time.
Oh, she met Baba. I know she met him in 56.
She wasn't one of the dancers.
Yes, she was one of the dancers.
Ella Marsh?
Marks.
Marks.
Ella Marks.
I've only got, like, you, Peter Saul, Mary Adair.
Marie.
Adair. M-A-R-I-E.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Don Mahler.
Did that book yet?
No, wait, what were you talking about?
56.
In 56? Now, wait a minute, I take it back. Ella met him in 52 after the accident, when he was at Ivanisha's apartment. And how many times after that, I couldn't say for sure. And Ella was...
How come you didn't know?
I didn't even know.
Wait a second, let me make sure. Maybe I do have you down to... Yeah, you're done.
What do you have with how did you spell Sura?
S U R A.
Correct.
Instead of Z. Somebody's Kitty's book. No, that's Zebra in that.
Zebra, right.
It's Gesmond, G E S T.
Right.
So these were.
Those were the four of us who flew on that plane. That
right.
Me.
So that. Where did the Marks lady? That was in New York.
Ella met him in New York. After the accident, when he came back and stayed with Ivy Hughes.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, at least one day, you know, he met people at Ivy Hughes' apartment on the 66th.
You went up to Minneapolis?
No. The tour was over.
I see.
So I saw him again.
You saw him again?
I saw him again, and Sura saw him again. And I don't know why I don't remember Zemra and Skipper or whether they did or not.
That was in Starstream?
No. That was in Ivy Deuce's apartment on 66th Street.
So down in Myrtle Beach, during this interview, do you remember any of the details of what happened?
I remember a few of the things he said, very few of the things he said. But
52.
Yeah, this is 52. Right. This is in Myrtle Beach, after the flight, in the Lagoon Cabin.
Just making sure.
The only things I really remember were that he said to me, I love you more than you can ever love yourself. And
you were all together?
No, this is 26 minutes.
So you each had problems?
Yes. And I really don't know what he said to the others. I don't know that we've ever discussed it. But the two things I remember that he said to me was that. And I don't remember the verb. I love you more than you can or will ever know. That's all I remember. He said other things, except that one of the things that, you know, bowled me over was after he gave me this immense experience of love, you know, when he embraced me.
Yeah.
I wasn't at all prepared for it in any way. I was a hot 19 and didn't know nothing, really. I was 24 by then, excuse me. And, but then he said that he was happy, implying that after he, you know, absolutely not be flat with him, that my coming had made him happy. And then when he got us all together, the only thing I remember he said was, you know all the business about the difficulty of flight and everything like that. He said, I was with you in the plane yesterday. Now you must take me back with you. So that's all I remember that he said. He said more, but I have no idea what he said.
So then, in 56,
mm-hmm.
You saw him first in Myrtle Beach, then?
No, I think I saw him. Didn't he come to the Delmonico first? Well, I saw him in the Delmonico.
And, now, in 56, he did have private interviews with you all, too, didn't he?
Yes.
Do you remember any
of yes, what I remember, the only thing that I remember, with me was he sent for me, and I went in, and he made some sort of small talk. I mean, not really small talk. He played his usual trick. looking at me and saying, "Are you happy?" And I always said, "Well, yes," which was quite true. And you know, I would get out there and I'd think, "Well, why don't you tell him your trouble?" So he, but it never happened. But he made small talk of something, if Baba made small talk. But then, absolutely unexpectedly, he turned to me and looked at me directly and he said, "Do you know that I am Christ?" And without hesitation, I said, "Yes, Baba." And he gave me prize out and sent me away. And I got out of the room and I said, "Oh my God, what did you say?" Because, you know, and then I realized that that was the truest answer I'd ever given in my life. I hadn't thought about it, I didn't. And he asked me and I said, "Yeah," and it was absolutely true. And I don't say that that was a big problem with me, but it was something that I had thought about. And it was a small block there.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I had a strong Christian upbringing, but there was something there. People tried. And anyway, that's, and I remember an incident. That's the only one I remember. I do remember another time when he called all the dancers in together. And you know Myrna, you've heard of Myrna, haven't you? Myrna was the one who couldn't see him. Or she saw him, but she was one of the first who came.
What's her surname?
Her name then was Myrna Bailey. And she married, and her name was Myrna. Well, she's the one that her fiancé behaved badly at Myrna Beach.
Yeah,
I don't remember his name. Bishop. No? Something like that. Anyway. I remember that he made a comment about, "She can't see me." And Myrna was standing there with tears. And I'm very touched by that. Very touched by that.
What do you mean she can't see?
Well, Myrna loved Baba. And I think. And he meant she didn't see him. She didn't see him. She never
didn't see him. But then why is she can't see him?
Well, that's logically, that's what I said. She said he could be the man in the room sitting there. And I thought to myself, obviously not. But that was that.
Yeah.
And she had she had four children, and each one she silently dedicated each to Baba.
So they're Babas. You're still in contact with them?
No, she died. She died about 3 or 4 years ago of her cancer throat. And I'm told, I don't know the details, that she had some kind of experience with Baba before she died. I don't know what. Because her husband never reconciled to it. But I think something happened there. No, before she died, I think her husband made some kind of reconciliation about it. I don't really know that. But there was something. And I remember they were, well, I don't know how practicing Jewish they were. But they were. And of course, he had no tolerance for that at all before. But when she died, her daughter, who was about 17 or 18 at the time, told the rabbi, and it was a rabbi, and he acquiesced, he read the Bible. And of course, and apparently the husband at least permitted it. But it was something this way. Oh, well, that's a brief one. We did dance for him in 56.
In Myrna Beach?
No.
In Los Angeles?
That was in San Francisco. Are they fine?
I said that it's giving me away.
Okay. far as I know, none of that's been checked. Nobody asked me about it.
Okay, here we go. Here's your chance. Tech Hightower, Bunny Shelly, performed the Highland Fling and danced about the Black Bottom.
But, also in the Highland Fling was Maria Dare.
And then was Maria Dare, so I danced in some way followed.
That's from the Lamb of the Remote Sun. But the Highland Fling had all of us in it. Peter
saw it.
And Marie. And me and Duncan. We all did that.
Because then we thought that Peter saw what he was going to do. And although Peter insisted he was not a solo performer, Bob was bidding to brought his shoes and therefore he was rewarded as were the others by Bob's team.
So that's right.
But he danced with me in the Highland Fling.
Yes.
Although it was far as he can dance. Because later in the suite, he gave the dancers a few minutes of the moment.
Yeah. He joked with us, and he played tricks on his crowd. And that old trick of, hitting her on the cheek.
She
fell for it.
What was that? She told me that.
Well, you've got to get it from her again.
I haven't.
Well, that's it. But, it's that old trick. And they laughed very heartily as she said, I always say you will never catch me again. And he always did.
You want me to check out what I've got for you already here?
For me already?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just about this, what you told me last time, the sandals and the
curly. Best you do that.
Okay.
Not yet, I can hold a lot longer before I get drawn that dry. But you know something? Miss Krask, did she write about the sandals? But she wrote about the coats, and she checked with me several times, so that's accurate. I think she may have ignored the sandals. It's also complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, I fouled it up, so okay. But yeah. You tell me what you got.
Well, this is just so simple. The first thing is that the bottle is tied with his fingers. I can't remember what he tried to do.
What's that?
When Bob says, when he's playing games with his fingers, Myrtle Beach, when he invited Peter through the Thibodeau to do the same, Peter tried to imitate the bottle's dexterity, but not too successful. Then he called on Tex Hightower, who also tried.
I
probably don't remember, but see, this is one of the negatives.
I don't think exactly. It might be that I believe that. I'm not going to make a joke about it. I mean, it's quite true. I would have made a mess of it.
So during Bob's visit, Tex had been busy trying to handmake a pair of sandals for Bob. This was not the Brooklyn Gardens. He was just sanding them on the sidewalk to make them softer when Bob called him to try them on. Aaron put one on one of Bob's feet, and Adi did the same on the other. Bob was pleased with them and promised Tex he'd alternate and remove the result.
Yeah.
Hey. I think this is.
No, can I just tell you very briefly if I'm not? In 1952. I'll tell you as briefly as I can. In 1952,
you don't have to be there.
But in 1952, when I met Bobby, he knocked me right time away, right? And I even don't think I was going to see him again. And that was before the accident. And I had to go back to a job, and I was absolutely bananas. all I wanted to do was be close to him. I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to be close to him. And I said, somehow I contacted Miss Crass, or I wrote to her, whatever. And I said, I'm going nuts. I can't pay attention to my job. And, you know, it can be. And she said, well, why don't you make him something? So I made Baba a coach. One of his name is Cap Coach. And she said, he may turn around and give it away to somebody else. But said, that's what. So what I did was concentrate my, you know, settle down and do something. So I made him a coach. And then he had the accident. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to give the coach to him or not. And I was permitted to see him again. And when I went in to see him, I just put the coat at the foot of the bed. He was lying down, you know, injured. And that was that. Then several days later, Miss Crass called me and said, I have a message for you. Baba said, when Baba needs a new coat, that boy is to make it. But he is not late until I tell him to work on it. So fine.
So the first coat was white?
Yes. Now, in the meantime, the coat wasn't enough. I still was, so I started making.
I need
a skipper. Again. And also, I picked the Lord of the Lord. Hey, can you pass the drug to the room? I guess so.
Is it Tex, Mama? Is it Tex? Who's this Tex?
That's Uncle.
Is it Tex?
Tex.
I think you could, but I don't think he's going to. What do you think?
I do, sir, but that's his own time.
Yes.
Yeah.
In his own time, and why not? Okay.
Say bye-bye.
Say bye-bye. Don't do so. You're the God.
And since the coat didn't finish my upset, I started making sandals. And we were not permitted to see Baba, et cetera, et cetera. But I made these sandals very badly, I might say. But
still while Baba was there.
That's still while he was there. And none of us were permitted to contact him in Scarsdale, and he was leaving. And I got in touch with Miss Crass and said, is there any way I can get these sandals to her, to him? And she said, well, I'll see. And I don't know what she did or anything. She said, but you can come to the airport. If you do not expect to see Baba, then you can give sandals to Kitty, but you're not doing, you know, those were Baba's orders. So I went to the airport, and in those days it was two cars I had to put together. That was Idlewild before the King Kennedy. And there wasn't a soul in it. On one side were the ticket counters, and on the other side were the waiting areas. And I walked up. I walked from one end to the other, looking right and left. It was over there. And I walked back. And then I walked back, and then I discovered that on one end of it, there was a staircase leading up to an improvised observation deck. And there was a waiting area there. And I started over there, and Kitty came barreling out. And I said, oh, Kitty, I'm supposed to give you the sample. And she said, well, why don't you give him to me? And I looked at her rather blankly, and she said, well, he's calling you. And I turned around. And Baba was on the opposite side, and he was laughing. And he was beckoning to me. I passed him three times. Really? And that's true. He wasn't there. As far as I'm concerned, he was not there. Not only he was there, but the poor little mountain was there. And he called me over, and I started blubbering the sandals, and he just laughed. And he gave me a marvelous embrace and sent me away. Well, I wasn't satisfied with those sandals for very good reason. But anyway, so when he was coming in 56. In 56, I decided I'm going to do something about those sandals.
Just a second. How did you even have any measurements for feet or coat or anything?
The coat. I asked Miss Kraft about what size he was, and she said, about your size. And his feet were just about the size of mine. From having, you know, it's not reliable criterion, because, you know, he changed sizes. But his feet, were certainly more delicate and more beautiful, but they were about the size of mine at that time.
So he did wear the coat.
The white coat, I was told, if anybody really remembered, that he did. But the white coat, that was the first one.
The sandals?
And the sandals, I don't know. Oh, yes, he told me he wore them 3 minutes and they gave him a blister. So, and that was in 56. But anyway, he was coming in 56, so I decided, well, you're going to do something about those silly sandals. You're going to make a better pair. So I started working on the sandals. And I took them to Myrtle Beach with me, and I was making these things. And one morning, very early in the morning, someone came to my cabin and said, Baba wants to see you. So I walked out, and Baba was sitting over in the compound. It was very early morning, and extremely beautiful. And he was sitting, and Eric was there. And there were three people, Phyllis, Miss Crash with, what's her name? The elderly lady.
Ruth White.
Ruth White.
This was, where did you say?
Hmm?
Where did you say this was?
Well, we were standing in front of the original kitchen, and Baba was sitting over in front of the lagoon cabin on a little log bench.
Mm-hmm.
And he called people one by one, and then my turn came, and he called me over, and we were forbidden to sit on those logs because of chewing, so I had to. He said, sit down. So I sat down. And again, he made small talk. I don't know what it was about. And he said to me, isn't this a beautiful place? And he sort of pointed off and he said, do you see? And he said, ah, it was true. It was very beautiful. And I was thinking, oh, yeah. And all of a sudden he looked at me and he said, make the coat. Well, I jumped up 12 feet, I think. And then, very stupidly, I said, I'm not to finish the sandals. And he looked at me like, what sandals? And then he looked at Erich, and he looked at me, and he said, finish the sandals. He no more said that, and I thought, oh, you fool. Now you're stuck with those sandals, which I proceeded to make. And he said, they must be finished by Wednesday. And that was 2 days away. Well, I slogged away with those sandals. And again, they were not successful. And but I finished them. And I stuck them in my back pocket. He didn't ask for them on Wednesday. He didn't ask for them on Thursday. He didn't ask for them at any time that I can remember, except we went to Brook Green Gardens. I don't really know how many days after. But it was after the time he had asked for them. Now, the story is, I was not working on them at Brook Green Gardens.
That was a Saturday.
All right? Right. And he said they were coming back on Wednesday, but I was not working on them. They were finished. Because Baba had said they were to be finished by Wednesday, and they were finished. Terrible though they were finished. And there was a big crowd, and Baba was sitting under a tree. And for some reason, Peter and I were way the heck back, and we couldn't even see him, really. And all of a sudden, the crowd parted like the Red Sea, and Peter and I were there exposed in this alley of people. And people turned around, and Baba was beckoning to me. And I went forward, and he said, the sandals.
You were just carrying with you.
Yeah, I had it in my back pocket. By that time, I caught on to a couple of things, not much, yeah, but a couple. And so I gave the sandals. Any fairy to put on one, that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm. It said you were sandals made it softer.
That's not true. I was not working on that. I mean, I don't think that's an important detail, but it's...
But you told me last time about this coat was when Baba flipped a Coca-Cola bottle to the side.
No, wait a minute. I'm finished. Well, he put them on. Terrible. He couldn't walk. Well, I went into a depression that, you know, I can't describe. And then I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to try to put them right? So I asked Erich. I caught Erich as he was walking, flying across the compound. And I didn't know. I was told later you were not supposed to talk to Erich. You weren't supposed to distract him in any way. But I knew Erich was around. So I asked him, I said, would you ask Bob if I could come and fit the sandals? And Bob gave permission. And I didn't know when, he called me over one, it was after lunch, it was midday, and he was at the guest house. And I'm going to move this around. I'm not sure the sequence is right. Anyway, that's when I had some rubber, foam rubber insole, and I thought, well, maybe they'd be more comfortable if I put foam rubber insole under the leather sole, you know, and so forth. And I asked Bob if he wanted that, and he asked someone, and someone said, And I remember Adi said, oh, that's a very good idea, Bob. You let me very comfortable. So Bob said, well, for the coin. And I, Stephen, took out water. He picked up a poker pot and licked it. And the end result was I was the
cocoa ball cap?
Yeah.
I see.
You know, and I've forgotten which his head to make, but he flipped that. And he said, put the foam rubber. So I did that. And I don't really remember whether they ever fit. I don't think they did. But they were finished. Then I was free to work on the coat.
I see.
Right? So, that's that.
Yeah. And then that was in San Francisco.
Well, yes, that's
you
where...
You got the blue material.
I did get some material. This was the awful part. See, I had come... I remembered very well that Baba had said that about the coat, but I didn't come prepared to make it at that time. And I didn't have material, I didn't have scissors, I didn't have anything. And we were not permitted to leave the center. So I had to go to Bob, which I really didn't like doing, asking him anything. But I had to ask permission to go into Myrtle Beach, and I went into Myrtle Beach. And the selection of fabric was totally unsatisfactory. But I did buy scissors and something or other. And I bought some fabric, which I just didn't like at all. It was very good Indian hair cotton, but that wasn't what I wanted to make. And anyway, as it turned out, I didn't have 1 minute to work on it. So then we went to Washington, we got to, and he didn't give me an actual, I think he said it must be finished before I leave. And I don't think it was more specific than that. And in San Francisco, the day we arrived, quite unexpectedly, Baba gave us the afternoon to go on sightseeing. So that's when I got the beautiful English woolen fabric, very lightweight, and a beautiful sky blue. And then I started working on the coat in Montana. There was no time to do it. None at all. And I would stay up till all hours of the night and make ready things. Every stitch was backstitched, and it was flat felt seam and buttonhole pocket. A lot of work. I didn't really mind that. But then he started asking about, is the coat finished? And I told him that. And 2 hours later, after I hadn't been out of the side, he would say, have you finished the coat? And I finished the coat. Willie made a joke, I think the day before, he said, is the coat finished? And I said, oh, it's almost finished, probably, but it's not really finished. And he said, yeah, I know. When I'm flying off in the plane, you'll be running around waving your coat on the ground. And I did finish it, and I had to ask him again. I had to ask him. We were forbidden to leave his room at night when he retired. And I said, the coat's almost finished, and if I go and I finish it, may I just lay it outside the door? And I don't remember his reaction, but he said I could. Well, that little bit of finishing, I think, took me 5 o'clock in the morning. And I had tiptoed over there, and I had laid the coat outside the door, and I had tiptoed back to my room, and just barely laid down. And there was a knock on my door. And they said, Bob wants to see you. So I went, I slogged on something. And I went tearing around to his room, and I turned a corner, and I just absolutely stopped like I ran into a brick wall. Because Bob was standing there, grinning, is the word, grinning. And he was standing in that corner. And he said, aren't I handsome? And he was. And it was a beautiful coat. And then he proceeded to tease me so unmercifully in front of everybody that I don't even remember what he said.
Said, where are the pockets?
Well, no, he didn't say where. He never said a word. I said something about I didn't have time to put on pockets, which was obvious, since they weren't there.
Oh, see, now I've got it. See, you said it wasn't up to you.
No, that's not true. I didn't have time. And I figured, well, they should be there, but I had to finish that thing. Mm-hmm. And No, he did. I don't think he said. I offered. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to change the pockets. And he never said a word about it. He just kept putting it. That was his habit. He did that all the time. And I don't think he did it especially for me, but he just as well might have, because I died every time. And it was in the film. And it wasn't there. But that is the sequence and the story of the sandals and the coat.
Because I'll change it. correctly. Now, 58, I've done a preliminary, whatever you remember of that.
Well,
that was dancing in the barn.
Yes, well, you see, he asked us in 56, we didn't come prepared. And all of a sudden, one day, he said, you want to dance for me? And we all died on the spot. I mean, I turned to stone, and we looked so blank, he said, well, day after tomorrow, then dance for me.
That was in San Francisco, in the hotel?
No, this was in Myrtle Beach.
No, I meant 56.
Yeah, 56.
Was that the hotel, actually?
No. I'll make it clear. In Myrtle Beach, we were not prepared.
Right.
And we were all around, and he looked at us and said, do you want to dance for me? And we didn't have it. Mm-hmm. And he said, all right. I think he said, in 2 days' time, you dance for me. So we went down to the beach, and we went here and there, and we tried to swing something together, humming and clapping, and we had it ready, and he didn't ask for it. And then we started flying around. And then, when we got to San Francisco, he said, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, you're going to dance for me. Mm-hmm. And that was in Holiday Inn in San Francisco.
Right, that was the room where he was getting interviewed.
Yes, it was the room, and he closed it off. And he asked us, he said, who do you want to be here? And I wish it would be you. And Miss Crass and the ladies.
So everybody
wasn't
there.
No. You want to make friends?
I thought this was like before.
But it never occurred to me. Why should anybody else be there? And so that's when we did the things to humming and clapping.
So there wasn't music either.
We didn't have, because we weren't prepared. So in 58, when he said he was coming, we slugged some things together. So we were prepared, more or less. And we did take the music, and we made rudimentary costumes and what have you. And we had a running order, and this and that and the other. So that in 58, we were prepared, more or less. And as I remember, we were so prepared, I don't remember when he said, are you going to dance for me? But he did, mm-hmm. at some point. And the floor of the barn was like glass. Mm-hmm. And we asked him if we could remove the surface of wax, if we promised to replace it. And he said, we could do that. And then I asked him, we want to dance for you, Baba. And we can present it better if we use most of the space of the barn, and you and some other people will be seated and everybody else will have to stand and crowd in the back. I said, is that all right? And he said, yes.
And normally there was chairs in there?
Well, yeah, it was filled up with chairs. Mm-hmm. And then there was a small area in the end where Bob sat. Mm-hmm. But maybe it was very selfish, but I don't really think so. I was interested in entertaining Bob. And as successfully as possible. And the way to do that, we felt, or I felt, I think everybody did, was to make it as much like a little theater as possible. Mm-hmm. And Jane, gave us drapes, old drapes that we tore apart and covered the lights from the front so that it was reflected onto that area. And everybody else was smashed in the back. Another way to make friends. But those were bombers. they were his orders, but they were his acquiescence.
Everybody got to see it.
They could see it, but they weren't exactly comfortable. It was very hot in there, and you were squashed up like sardines. Mm-hmm. But Bamba was very comfortable, and we made chairs. We put two rows of chairs for Elizabeth and Kitty and Miss Crask and the Mongoli and Ruth White and the older people. They were comfortable. The rest of the people had stands in the back, and Bamba was right in the center. And for a long time, I remember the running order of that program, but I don't remember it anymore.
I have it, but...
You sure?
Well, wait a second now.
I never know what an author is like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe the other said that. It's all right. I don't know. It's not
important. Do you remember any other of the dances? Any other of what the actual performances
were? Yeah. Peter and Viola danced something in the contemporary style that Paul Taylor had choreographed.
Yeah.
And it was called May Garden. And then, Bunty. You didn't have Bunty in there.
No.
Did you?
I don't think my name was. You said, go ahead. No, she didn't answer. Yeah, Bunty Calendar.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember. Then Bunty had staged a thing for... She was in it, and Cynthia was in it, and Joe was in it, and Naomi was in it, and Zebra, and John, and Peter was in it. Called Skating Party.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones who were not in that one... See, some of the kids didn't know what to do. So a bunch of staged this thing. And it was really very, very nice. Like, Naomi didn't know what to do, and Joe didn't know what to do, and Cynthia didn't know what to do. So she staged that, and that was called Skating Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Skipper and I did that suite from the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Several songs and several dances. And then Jean, who was a solo artist anyway, did his own dances for Bob Kunderstock.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all. Oh no, Skipper and I did some Spanish dances in there somewhere. I don't exactly remember where. And Don Mahler. Well, now wait a minute. He had come from Canada, and he was one of the dancers, but he hadn't prepared, and he hadn't been able to rehearse with us. So he was he was stage manager, and he opened the back doors, and when we came flying out, we didn't run.
He's there carrying Bob's chair with you.
Yeah. But he also participated in the performance in that way.
Okay. Do you remember any of the interviews you had with Bob in 15?
The interviews I had with Bob.
Did you have any?
The only one I remember was he. I was. What was I doing in 58? I was always late. I don't know what I was doing. Anyway, one day we all went to the barn. I don't know where I was. I had to run to get there. And I was met at the door. Bob was inside the barn. And I was met at the door by Miss Kraft, and she gave me this spiel that you're to ask no questions, and such and such and such.
Mm-hmm.
You're to ask nothing to follow. And I walked in, and he was sort of jolly and twinkly, and he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Nothing." And he took my hand, and he swung them back and forth, and I smacked them together. And I mean, they hurt. I like had blood blisters on my knuckles. And then he said, "Go." And
the day he was giving prasad to each one. There was a lot of people coming from there.
He didn't give me prasad. Not in the barn that day.
Well, did you see him in the interview cabin? In the lagoon cabin?
Yes, I saw him when we arrived, and he called us in several times. And there was that incident in the barn, and I believe that was 58. Now, Mama had given us orders during that year, and they were orders that I had flunked. And there was a slight load of conscience on my head about that. But anyway, then one day in the barn.
Oh, you didn't raise your hand, did you?
Yeah, that's the line. How come you remember all that? But anyway. Unless I'm boring you today.
No.
All right. So we're sitting in the barn. Bob had given a discourse on something. I have no idea what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started, and he said, "Are all of you ready to obey me?" And I was sitting there feeling like, you know, I have less than a pellet. And I didn't say anything because, well, Bob knows anyway, right? So I figured, I always prepare. But then a young man, waiter stood up, and I rarely admired anyone as much as I admired that young man. And he stood up and he said very sweetly and sort of helplessly, "Mr. Bhagavad, it's impossible. It's just impossible."
What was his name?
I know.
From Wales.
He was from Wales. And he was a farmer from Wales. And I looked at that boy and I said, "Bully for you, if I had a gold star, I'd stick it on you. Because I haven't got the guts to get up and say that." And, anyway, then followed a discussion. And like all discussions, it's total calamity and chaos. And in the course of it, a very powerful personality roared out that there's no such thing as trying to obey Baba. There's only obeying him. And you don't try, you just do it. And then Baba said, and I'm not sure, again, of the verb, but I think he said, are you prepared to obey? Well, a hand shot up like weeds, except mine, and maybe somebody else. I didn't. Do you care about anybody? You don't. I didn't. I've been much too wrapped up in myself. And I did not raise my hand. And later on that same day, Mama called the dancers in with Miss Kratz, and again, he was, and I was sitting way over the corner, sort of to Baba's side, and everybody else seemed to be in front of him. And he was joking and laughing, and he was joking with Miss Kratz and things like that. And then all of a sudden, he said, did you all raise your hand in the bar? And I believe they all raised their hands. And I didn't raise my hand. And I thought, he didn't say me. I was made of that. And he said, that's very, that makes Baba happy. And I was feeling better at that minute, you can imagine. I think that's it. And obedience is so important. And he looked at me and he said, you didn't raise your hand. And then I proceeded to try to explain to Baba, stumbling over every word, that, well, so-and-so said this, and so-and-so said that, and this, and that, and the other, and Baba looked at me. And there was such disappointment in his eyes, and such sort of, like, he was rather appalled. And I just thought, well, the end of the world will be pleasant compared to this. And then all of a sudden he laughed. And he said, your mind is no good. All it does is confusion. And that was that. And I don't think it resolved anything, but
Now, Jane also told me one story when she was in the Lagoon Cabin with you all, and Baba was after that dance performance, and Baba asked her, you know, what are you thinking? She was laughing. She said, Baba, you know. And he said, yeah, I know. You want to keep the dancers here for the theater. She said, they were so wonderful, Baba. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember.
She said, they were so wonderful, Baba. I'd like to.
You're very selfish, David. You don't remember everything.
Yeah. Just looking at Baba.
He may have said that. Mm-hmm. Well, she was very sweet to us because she did give us what few things she had at the theater to make.
Well, she said you also came to her theater and helped decorate when Baba was to come to.
Yes.
Because she was, she had just met Bob. She was new.
That's
she didn't know anything about it. She was kind of public house.
Yeah.
That's about all I have.
Okay.
62, there wasn't much private.
No.
And they used to go there in the mornings.
Yeah, well, all I remember, of course, is the final day. And he called the dancers in alone. And this is incidental. I don't expect you to include it. I don't know. But I had always had this thing, and I mentioned before, that Baba would always, unexpectedly, he would look at me and say, you happy? And I would always, like the village idiot, say, oh, yeah, and it was absolutely true. I was. And I would get out of there. I mean, yeah, my life wasn't so great. What's the matter with you? Anyway, it never happened. He never gave me the chance to complain. And fortunately, I don't know if I would have or not, because if you'd asked me, I would have said yes, because I really was. But I don't even remember this, but I suppose it happened because other people who were there told me this was the final day. And he looked at me on his face and said, are you having it? I said, yes. And I don't remember, but other people said, he said, you're happy here, but not there. And don't you know who missed it? Me. But I guess it happened, because the others said so. And also that final day, he said, to me it appeared he didn't put special emphasis. Right, he said, you will never see me again in this life. Now, to me, Mama had said so many things that appeared contradictory, that I didn't hang on to that one way or the other. Several of the dancers, and I believe